The song that we just sang, Trust and Obey. If we decide to go into 2026 trusting God and obeying Him, I think that is a pretty good idea for the new year. Isaiah chapter number 43, and we are going to look at two verses this morning. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. The title of my sermon is A New Thing for a New Year. As you're turning to Isaiah, just to give you some context on the passage, at this time, the Israelites, specifically the nation of Judah, are going through a difficult time. They were facing judgment and discipline as a result of their own doing, which was a common theme for the nation of Israel. And they are facing some judgment and some warnings from God through Isaiah to explain to them their wrongdoing. And that's pretty much the theme for the first half of Isaiah. But then as we get to Isaiah chapter 40, the tone changes. And it's not so much doom and gloom, but it is now turning into God reminding them who they were and, more importantly, who He is. But at this time, I'm sure the Israelites were facing some questions and thinking about these things. They were thinking, has God forgotten us? You know, the judgment that they were facing, the captivity that they were in, it was not new for these people. And they were wondering, where is the God that brought us from Egypt? Where is the God that provided for us in the wilderness? Where is He when we need Him? And God begins to do that exact thing. He begins to remind them of who they are. And we find ourselves in Isaiah chapter 43. Look what it says in verse number 18. The Bible says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. A relationship with God is not just about Him changing your life. It is about Him transforming you into an entirely new life. And the children of Israel, all they knew was captivity in Egypt. All they knew was suffering. But now, as they journeyed through the wilderness, as they journeyed to a land that God had promised them, they were looking forward to a new life. And today, we can have a changed life, but if we are going to have a truly transformed, brand new life, it can only come as a result of a relationship with God. I remember when I was in fifth grade, when I had to do the science projects, I had to take a paper and look up and find all the wild animals that was outside in the backyard or on the screen outside. And I remember seeing a caterpillar more than one on one occasion. But as many of you know, a caterpillar doesn't stay that way for very long. At a certain point, it gets into a cocoon, and then it transforms into an entirely new life. A life that I'm sure maybe it could always imagine, but it could never experience until it actually becomes a butterfly. And only God can do a transformation in this new year through us if we have a relationship with Him. As time grows, as we enter into this new year, times change and situations change. But it's only God that can make something truly new. That's what the Bible says, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. As we step into this new year, are you expecting God to do something new in your life? Are you expecting Him to work through you this year? Our prayer should be that even more than 2025, even more than last year, our prayer should be, God, work through me and in me even more this year than last year. God, please do something new. In our text this morning, let's notice three new actions that God calls the children of Israel to remember. Even though they were going through difficult times, God calls them to remember and to understand these three actions. And my prayer is that as we look at these actions, we would adopt them for ourselves, that we would embrace these principles so that we can serve God even more today. First of all, look what it says in verse number 18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. First of all, this morning, we need to remember correctly. I find it interesting that the whole theme of the first few paragraphs of chapter 43, that God is reminding them, first of all, that he created them, that he redeemed them because of their rich history, how that God brought them out of Egypt, the plagues, how he separated the Red Sea for them, how he provided manna for them and water from the rock. All of these things God is calling them to remember. But then in verse 18, he says, "Remember ye not the former things, not even consider them." This was a strange request because not only did the Israelites remember who they were, even the nations around them remembered. If you study through their journeys coming out of Egypt into the promised land, as they came upon enemies, as they came upon cities, there were many people who knew of them before they even showed up. They had heard about how God saved them, how that God had done miraculous things through them, and God had a purpose for that. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 2:25, "This day will I begin to put the dread of thee," talking about the children of Israel, "and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee." There were many nations who people were afraid of, but for very entirely different reasons. Many people were afraid of nations because of their war, because of their cruelty, but there were nations who were afraid of the Israelites because of their God. And that's why God wanted them to remember who they were. But more importantly, God wanted to remind them that, hey, it's not because of what you've done. It's not because of who you are. It's because of who I am. And God is not talking about forgetting those things that he did or where they came from. But rather, the situation that the Israelites were finding themselves in was they were too focused on the past. They were too focused on all that God was doing. They were too focused on what God had did that they were not even realizing what he was doing in the present. They did not realize what he could do in the future because they were too focused on the past. As I was thinking about this truth, I thought of a time when I was driving down the street about to turn into Hayfield. I was running a bit behind, and of course, I'm sure none of you have done this. I tried to make up that time on the road, and as I was making my way over here, I went by the yield sign, and I remember I looked up in the rearview mirror to see if there was anyone behind me, and then I looked back at my windshield, and I see a truck that was about 30 feet in front of me. So I slammed on the brakes as quickly as I could, but it was too late. I hit right into that truck. So we pulled over, and thankfully, it was only my car that took some damage. And we exchanged insurance and numbers, and we went along our way. But as I was thinking about that, I thought, how did that happen? Because I was too focused on a mirror and on the back when I should have been focused in the front. And you know, many of us, maybe that's our situation. You know, we go throughout our day, our schedule, and we get distracted by things that come up, events that shake up our schedule, you might say. But it's so easy to get distracted in what's behind us and what's going on that we forget to put our focus on what was in front of us. And unfortunately, many of us Christians are trying to navigate life by living in the past. Many of us are trying to navigate the Christian life, trying to figure out how we are going to get through each day by not looking forward in what God was trying to do. And that was the problem with the children of Israel. Now, what's so dangerous about remembering incorrectly? Well, they began to limit God's power. They were thinking that, oh, do you remember how God saved us from Egypt? Do you remember that he gave us manna? And they started, instead of thinking that, oh, God can do it again, they were thinking, man, I wish we could go back to those days. Instead of understanding the power that God had in the moment, they were too focused on the power that God had in the past. And they fell into the trap of limiting and measuring God's power. We're starting a new year. We've already gone the first week into this new year, and already we see that we need God's power just like before. We need God's strength just like before. We need God working in us and through us even more now than before. We cannot measure God's power. We cannot limit God's power and what he wants to do this year. Not only were they limiting God's power, but it was producing fear. Many times the children of Israel, they would look back at their history, and instead of understanding who God was, instead of understanding that it was God that can navigate them through their troubled times, they started to miss their past. They started to thought that the slavery that God saved them from wasn't all that bad in comparison to their problems, but also produced fear. All of a sudden, the fear of the giants, when they were at the front of going into the promised land, it produced fear. Even when the Egyptians were chasing them, they were fearful. Anytime they went back in the past, instead of remembering God's power, they continued to remember the fear that they had or their troubled past. That's why we need to remember correctly. We need to remember that God is still working now, even as he did before. But ultimately, it also stunted their spiritual growth. You see, if we don't think that God can do great things now, if we don't think that God's power is just like before, then we can't serve God the way that we should. We won't be expecting God to do great things through us this year if we don't think he has the power to do it. Psalms 147:5 says, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." Jeremiah 32:17, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." As we go into this new year, our desire should be to see God work. And we have to believe that even still in 2026, despite of all that's going on around us, all the distractions in this world, there is still nothing too hard for God. We must remember that God wants to do great things this year. And he wants to use you and I for it. We have to believe that he can still do great things. God wasn't telling them to erase their history. God wasn't telling them to forget who he was or what he had done, his faithfulness or his goodness. But he is telling them, hey, don't idolize, don't set your eyes on what I did before, and you're missing what I'm doing even now. In the background, we may not see it. We may not see how God is working right now. But don't get stuck in the past when God is working right now. Thank God for what he did in the past, but be prepared to trust him for what he is going to do. Not only will they too remember correctly, and we should also remember correctly, but look what it says in verse 19, the first part of it. "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" His promise to the children of Israel was that he will do a new thing. Not only should they remember correctly, but they should expect boldly. Think of where they were right now. They're experiencing this judgment, and Isaiah is warning them that judgment is coming as a result of their decisions. And I'm sure they started to think, oh, here we go again, just like before. But they failed to realize that even in the difficult times, God was still there. Even when judgment was upon them, God was still there. And they should expect boldly. Whether they were in freedom or captivity, God still loved them. And he was still with them. His character never changed, even though their circumstances did. But now he's telling them to expect boldly. He said, hey, even though, yes, it was great what was done at the Red Sea. It was great how he provided them a way through the wilderness and how he provided rivers in the desert. That's all great. But don't stay in what I did. Think of something that I can do that's even more miraculous this year. That's the message that God's sending them, and the message that we should understand. That God wants to work even more in ways now than he did before. And that's exactly what he did. With Moses, they saw great things, but even Joshua, they saw even greater things. How can you explain a city being fallen down with walls, falling down with them just walking around? How can you explain the sun standing still for Joshua? God was doing even greater things. If we understand that time does not limit God, if we understand that his power is infinite and his understanding is infinite, then we can expect God to do great things in 2026. You see, because they had forgotten and limited God, the expectation for what God could do went down. You see, they thought, oh, man, remember when he separated the Red Sea? Remember when he did all of these miracles? Man, I don't see an ocean here. I don't see a sea here. I don't think God can do anything. I don't think he can do something greater than what he has done. And many times that hinders us this morning. Sometimes we think, oh, maybe last year when I had that specific prayer request, he answered that. But this next prayer request that I have, it's huge. I do not think he can do it. Then we begin to limit our God. And our expectation goes down. We all understand about expectations. But something that we expect, you know, maybe it was, especially with Christmas, maybe there was a gift that you had a feeling you thought that you were going to get and it didn't happen. But we all have expectations that fall short. Yesterday, I was invited to head over to Brother Stephen's house because Miss Mallory was at the Women's Fellowship. And I remember I knocked on the door, and of course, he opened the door, and I could hear Bentley. I couldn't see Bentley because he was behind Noah, but I could hear Bentley. He walked around, and he said, "Mama?" And he walked around, and I could see his face. He was like, "Oh." His expectation was shattered. He thought Mama was back, but unfortunately it was not. You know, his expectation fell short. You know, have you been there? You know, you were expecting something or you were anticipating something and it didn't happen. It didn't work out. You know, many of us put our faith in people, our trust in people, and they will fail. But God, who never fails, we can put our trust in and our faith in this morning. See, many people desire the joy that God gives. Many desire the peace that God offers. But many of us and many people don't want to surrender and yield to see what God can do. This year, we need to expect God to do even greater things than he did. As a church, we need to expect boldly, and we need to expect that God can do greater things this year. It was William Carey, missionary to India, who said, "Expect great things from God." But he didn't end it there. He said, "Attempt great things for God." We can have an expectation. We can say, oh, I want God to bless this church. I want to see this certain amount of people in the pews. I want to see people get baptized. It's great to have all those things. But ultimately, if we are going to expect great things from God, we need to attempt great things for God. We need to get involved. We need to serve. And that's why this month we are emphasizing serving so that we can get people plugged in and that we can see what God can do through you or I if we serve. We need to believe that God is going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. See, when we expect God to do great things, we have to understand that it's not because of us. It's not because we are so special that we deserve God to work. It's not because our church has done great things that we should expect God to move in this church. We have to continually be surrendered and yielded to God, so that he can continue to work. I know that God's going to do great things in this year, but I have to ask myself, am I surrendered? If I expect God to do great things through me and he asks me to do something, am I fully yielded to him to say yes? Even though I may not understand what's going to happen, even though we may not know how God is going to accomplish it, we have to have faith and believe in him. In our Sunday school, we were talking about Abraham, how that it was through his faith that people saw how much he truly loved God. God told Abraham, hey, go to this place, not knowing where he was going, but he had faith in God. The only son, the son that God gave him, God asked a sacrifice, and he obeyed. And Abraham got to see a miracle. because he was submitted to God. Are you expecting great things from God? Do you think he could work through you or I? He desires to, and he wants to. In this new year, will you be submitted to see God do great things? You see, the Israelites, they saw God do amazing things, things that I'm sure they could never even imagine. But God wanted to do more. And I truly believe that this morning, as we are in this new month, this new year, I believe that God wants to do more in this church. I believe that God wants to do more through you and I. Are we surrendered to his will? See, you can have an impact through people's lives, and God wants to use you. See what God will do through you this year. Not only did he tell them to remember correctly, not only did he tell them to expect boldly, but also he told them to trust thoroughly. Look what it says in verse 19, the ending part of it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. As I was studying this, I thought this wasn't new to the children of Israel. They had seen God part the Red Sea. They had seen God provide for them. They had seen God make ways through the wilderness. But that's not the message that God's trying to teach them. The point that he was trying to make was that, hey, just like they had to trust God through every step, they need to trust God for the future. Even though it looks pretty bad right now in the situation they are at, just like I made a way for you in the wilderness, just like I provided for you, just like I guided you, you can trust me. You know, we sometimes have trouble with trust. There were many times, even right now, when I was back home, one of my brothers walked up and said, "Hey, Ben, close your eyes and hold out your hands. I have something for you." Has that ever happened to any of you? They say, "I have something for you. Close your eyes and hold out your hands." You know, I always have a few questions that I always ask. Is it alive or dead? That's a question. Can it bite me? You know, questions like that. Is it something that's dirty? You know, you always have to give them the interrogation, to find out what it is. You know, sometimes we do that with God. You know, we say, God says, "I have something for you." And we say, "Is it something good? Am I going to enjoy it? Will I have to be uncomfortable? Am I going to have to step out and do something that I don't want to do?" The Israelites had to trust God for every step of the way. You know, the food that they had packed from Egypt, it ran out one day. The water that they had packed with them, it ran out. And they still had quite a long ways to go. They had to trust God every step of the way. But not just trust him for every step. They had to trust him thoroughly. You know, many of us, we've had to place our trust completely in other people or some technology. But it's true that they can all fail us. But ultimately, God never fails us. You know, just because we're in a new year doesn't mean that our independence from God needs to grow. It means our faith and trust in God needs to grow. You know, they knew that God could provide water. They saw it. They knew that God could do all of these things. But that's not why he mentioned it. He mentioned it because they needed to place their trust completely in him. Do you trust him completely for that situation in your life? Maybe there's a situation that has carried over from 2025 into this new year. And it's something that you're bothered by. It's something that you don't know how to handle. Just like you had to trust God last year, you trust him even more this year. Will you trust him? Will you trust him in this new year? See, they had to remember correctly, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, who was the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't forget, God in the past is still working in the present. You see, we have different things that change as we carry into a new year. Maybe jobs change. Maybe you just moved here. Maybe houses change. Friends change. Relationships change. But God never changes. He is still the same as he was. He's still the same as he worked before. We need to expect boldly. Believe that God can do great things through you this year. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. See, if we trust him and we see God do those great things, the glory shouldn't go back to us. Because there's nothing that we can do without him. That's what John says. The glory should always go back to God for what he has done, but also what he will do. But also trust thoroughly. Psalms 37:5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. This morning, are you placing your complete and total trust in Jesus? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you haven't experienced that transformation that God can do in your life. You know, he loved you. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. He died for you. He rose again on the third day, and he is now offering the free gift of salvation to each and every one of you who believes. And the gospel never changes. Just like yesterday, just like last week, it's still available and it's still powerful and it is still transforming lives. And he can transform your life if you allow him. Verse 19, it starts with one word, behold. It's not a suggestion. He's not saying, I may do a new thing, I could do a new thing. He said, I will do a new thing. Hey, God's telling his people, don't look back in the past. Don't stay in the rearview mirror, you might say, of what I did in the past. Think of what I can do now. Think of what I can do in the present. And think of how I'm working right now in your situation. You may not see it, but he is working. And what I can do in the future. You know, many of us are stuck in verse 18. We're stuck with regrets, disappointments, mistakes, and we can't move forward with that. We need to give it all to God. Trust in him. But even God says, hey, don't live there. Even though those things he mentioned at the beginning of Isaiah 43 were all good things, don't stay there. Remember correctly, God has not changed. Expect boldly. God is still working and he is still moving. But trust thoroughly. God can make a way where there is no way. So here's the question in this new year. Are you going to just see what God is going to do? Or are you going to experience what God's going to do? Are you going to serve and surrender to him to see what he is going to do? Don't live in the past. Look at what God is going to do. It says, if God can make rivers in the desert, he can produce fruit in your life. But we have to start by walking by faith in this new year. It would be great if we just decide, you know what, whatever past mistakes, whatever past disappointments I made, you know what, God, I'm going to leave it in the past because I'm trusting you for my present and my future. And if you're sitting here this morning and say, I have not experienced the life-changing, transforming gospel that Christ has done for you, you can do that today. You can experience him today. I will do a new thing. He wants to do it in you and through you in this new year. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're going to have a time of invitation. There's a few things I would like to ask you this morning as we begin. First of all, If you're sitting here this morning and you have not asked Jesus to save you this morning, you can do it today. If that's you this morning, won't you please go ahead and raise your hand? No one's looking around. All eyes are, every head bowed, every eyes closed. If you're here this morning and say, I have not allowed Jesus to transform my life that only he can do. I have not been made new. You can do that this morning. If that's you, just go ahead and raise your hand this morning. Next question I want to ask you is, maybe you say, Brother Ben, I'm here and I am saved. I have received Jesus Christ into my heart. But I feel like I'm just stuck in the past. I know that it's a new year. I know that it's a new month. But some situations that I'm in, I just keep reviewing them. I haven't moved forward. But this morning, I want God to do a new thing in my life. I want God to work through me this year. But I want to move forward. If that's you, go ahead and raise your hand this morning. I want God to do a new thing in my life. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and all stand. And as the piano is playing, the altar is open. We have people up here in the front who would love to pray with you, who would love to speak with you. But the decision can be made this morning. Are you going to do a new thing? God wants to, and he can. But you have to make the decision. God wants to work through you, and he wants to do a new thing, even more than last year. Will you allow him? Will you surrender to him so that he can use you in a great and mighty way this year? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the message from your word. I pray that you would forgive us for limiting your power, thinking that you can only work in the past. But I pray that we would realize that you want to do a new work this morning, in this new year. I pray that we would be surrendered and yielded to you for you to work. I thank you for all you've done and what you are going to do. Pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.